people at 27. He glanced at his watch. It was 20 minutes past midnight. Then it'll be time for a cup of coffee. Watson crossed the pavement to number 27 and rang the bell. But it was some time before there was a response. Yeah? A man in his mid-30s eventually opened the door and stared at the PC. He wore a pair of jeans and was stripped to the waist. His hair hung about his muscular, suntanned shoulders untidily. He looked to be the sort he would normally wear it in a ponytail. Around his neck, he wore a slender gold chain. And in his right hand, he was holding a woman's bra. "We've had a report of a disturbance here," said Watson, glancing pointedly at the item of underwear. "I can't hear anything," said the man with a confident grin, and cocked his head in an attitude of listening. He too glanced at the bra and then tossed it aside. "Who put the bubble in?" "We've been told that there was loud music and shouts and screams," said Watson, declining to answer the man's question. He took a pace back. The man's breath reeked of alcohol. "So? We were having a party that got a bit out of hand. It's all over now, mate, and most of the gang's gone home. All right?" A girl with a gorgeous figure and long black hair appeared beside the man and smiled at Watson. She showed no sign of embarrassment to be seen wearing nothing but a thong. "What is it, lover?" she asked, slipping an arm around the man's waist and leaning into him. "Nothing to worry about, Shell. It's only the old bill. Apparently, there's been a complaint about the noise. I suppose it was some envious neighbour who was pissed off he hadn't been invited." "Oh, that's all right then." The girl winked at the PC, turned, and sashayed provocatively back into the house. "Okay," said Watson, "but keep it down in future." "Yeah, sorry, officer, but like I said, it's over now. I guess you guys have got enough to do without dealing with noisy parties." "You can say that again. And your name, sir?" Belatedly, Watson realised that he should take a few details. The man paused before answering. "Carl Morgan," he said eventually. "Why?"
"Just for the records."
Watson afforded the man a crooked grin.
"And you live here?"
"Yeah, of course."
"Thank you."
Watson scrawled a few lines in his incident report book and pocketed it.
"I'll not need to trouble you any further."
He crossed the pavement and got back into the police car. Taking out his pen, he wrote, "All quiet on arrival," against the entry in the logbook regarding the disturbance call. He put his pen back in his pocket and glanced at the driver.
"I reckon that was some party," he said.
"Some bird came to the door wearing a thong and nothing else. Some people have all the luck."
"You could have told me earlier," muttered Holmes.
"A cup of coffee then,"
said Watson, and yawned.
"Good thinking," said his partner,
and putting the car into drive, accelerated away. But almost immediately, Holmes and Watson received a call to an attempted burglary in Draycott Gardens.
"Suspects on premises," said the control room operator. "Silent approach."
"There goes our coffee," muttered Holmes.
He turned on the blue lights, but not the siren. After he had closed the front door of number 27, the man who told the police he was Carl Morgan walked into the front room of the house. Briefly parting the closed curtains, he glanced out at the street. He turned to the girl who was reclining in an armchair.
"It's all right, Shell. They've gone," he said.
"That was a bit too bloody close for comfort," he added, letting out a sigh of relief.
"Well, what do we do now, lover?"
asked Shelley.
"There's something I've got to do first, and then we'll get the hell out of here. And we'll go as far away as possible. Home, in fact."
The man laughed nervously.
"What about the hotel you booked, lover?"
complained the girl.
"Forget it," said the man. "And you'd better put some clothes on. Otherwise, there'll be another complaint."
"Only from a woman,"
said Shelley.